Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you're repenting, you're believing the gospel, and then God transforms you and changes you, and now you want to do what God calls you to do. So that salvation is always free. It's never a work. When you hear repent and be saved, it's repent from living for yourself. It's repent from living without God. It's turning to God and living.
Jesus is coming back for his church, and after he does, God's judgment upon this earth is coming. But the Bible says that God is so loving and patient, he is waiting as long as possible for people to repent of their sin and turn to him. As we study this next trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 9 and look at those who still refuse to repent, may we be moved to pray fervently for those we know who need to accept the message of the gospel. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
John's trying to describe something that is 2 centuries down the road, at least, and technology has increased. I was reading about, and some of you guys will know this, maybe many of you guys will know it, maybe I'm really late to come to this, but I was looking up today, I started looking at modern day warfare kind of things to see if I could see anything that would fit this, and I came across the latest jet. So I even forget what it is, but it's the latest jet, and it has drones that fly with it. The latest fighter, United States fighter jet, has drones that fly with it. So that as it's flying, if it gets into a battle, the drones can fight with it. They can control the drones and fight the drones with it. And I'm just blown away at where we are going. No wonder the Bible says that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would remain upon the earth. I'm believing more and more that that's man will destroy himself by warfare. I'm believing that more and more. God has to shorten the days more and more because of that. So who knows what kind of things. Maybe this isn't a rocket at all. Maybe in the future we'll see something and go, that's what the horsemen are riding. That's what it is. Who knows? But what we do know is it's incredibly deadly. These 200 million horsemen with their horses or their horse-like things are able to kill 1/3 of the earth, over 2 billion people. A quarter of the earth has already died. So a couple billion people, incredibly deadly. It goes on then to say in verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. The rest of mankind didn't repent. And you say, well, what does it mean worship demons? Does it just become a world that worships demonic beings after the church is gone and we're in the tribulation period? No. That's what the world is today. That's what the world was under the Roman pantheon. That's what the world was under the Greek pantheon. That's what the world was under the late Bronze Age pantheon of the Baals. In the Bible, we saw Baals being worshipped, Baal Marduk, Baal Zebub, Beelzebub, Baal Zebub, Baal Molech. These are pantheons of gods. But here's what you've got to know about the pantheons of gods. They weren't just gods. They were gods that worshiped certain things so that you could worship the god of pleasure. In the Baal pantheon, that was Molech. You could worship the god of wine if you wanted to go out and get drunk all the time. You could worship the goddess of fertility who was worshiped with temple prostitutes. And here's what the Bible says about these different gods. This is Deuteronomy 32, 16, and 17. So this would be speaking back to the time of the Baals. It says, they provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With the abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons and not to gods. To gods they do not know, the new gods, the new arrivals that your fathers do not fear. So when they think they're sacrificing to the Caesars, or they think they're sacrificing to Mercury. Mercury and Hermes are the same. Zeus and Jupiter are the same, right? They're Roman and the Greek pantheons. But when you think you're sacrificing to them, there are actually demonic spirits that are behind them. And you say, well, we don't worship a pantheon of gods today in the United States or around the world. Well, some places they do. And I think the same thing is true. There's demons behind it. but we still live for the things that they stand for. There are people who live to get drunk. That's what they live for. There are people who live for sexual experiences. There are people who live for money, for mammon, which was a god during the days of Jesus, for stuff. There are people who live for possessions. There are people that live for these things. This is a demonic influence that is behind all of these things, and they're living and they're worshiping demons. When you worship these things, you are worshiping demons because they can't satisfy. Pleasure is not what you're going to satisfy you. Things are not what's going to satisfy you. Money is not what's going to satisfy you. Sexual experiences is not what's going to satisfy you. They're going to hurt you in the end, just as the demonic spirits did in the old days. Romans tells us this way. This is Romans 1, 20 and 21, 23 and 25. I left out verse 22. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his," meaning God, "his invisible attributes have been clearly seen." God created the world, and since there's a creation, there is a creator. You cannot have a creation without a creator. There's a law called the second law of thermodynamics that says that everything goes from a state of order to disorder. If you don't believe that, take your car out into a field and park it. It'll last longer in Arizona. Take it back to Missouri and park it. See how long it lasts. Right? Any of you guys that are from that area, it'll rust away pretty quick, right? Everything goes from order and disorder. If you're walking through the desert and you find a Timex, you don't go, "Evolution is amazing. Look at it, it made a watch." You go, "Oh, Timex, you know who made it. I gotta go to a newer watch besides Timex." That's a very old illustration that I'm still using. If there's a creation, there is a creator. And we are so complicated, our bodies are so complicated that Darwin himself said, he didn't know how complicated the cell was. He didn't have the ability to be able to do it. We were not advanced in technology enough to find out how complicated the cells are. And he said, if the cell is complicated, then evolution is not true. The cell is complicated. You have cells in your body that are propelled by little propellers. The cells are more complicated than you know. How many times do you go to a doctor who's trained his entire life to take care of your body, and he goes, "I don't know what's wrong with you. I have no idea. Let's try this." You're like, "Really? We're just gonna try something? You don't know what's going on?" So, "For since the creation of the invisible attributes have clearly been seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead," you can even learn things about him by creation, "so that they are without excuse." This means everybody knows that there's a God. It also says in Romans, God puts it inside of them that there's a God. "Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than your creator, who is blessed forever, amen." That's the world that God's judging, who has rejected the creator, who is blindly moving forward, and will one day face it all. Now it goes on to say in the rest of verse 21, "And the idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk." I think of all of the idols that we have in the world today, in the world of serving Buddha or in the world of Hinduism. "And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immoralities, nor of their thefts." Now that's our world today. Murders, and people say, "Well, sorceries." Well, people don't do sorceries today. Remember, the word for sorcery is pharmakeia. Now, I'm not saying it's the exact same as drug use, but I'm saying it's connected. And always in sorcery, there was pharmakeia. There was drugs that were involved within sorcery. This is our world. Murders, sorceries, sexual immoralities, and thefts. It's what we see on TV. People will murder people they don't know because they stand against what they stand for, and they'll take their lives from them. The United States has become the murder capital of the world in the last 2 years. They didn't repent. Two times we're told that here. They didn't repent. Now, what is repent? If you begin to look down a dictionary, sooner or later you're going to find repentance is turning from sin. But that's not what the word repent means. The word repent means to change your mind or to go the other direction. That's why if someone's holding up a sign that says repent, as you're walking to it, just turn around and go the other way. Because you did exactly what he's telling you to do. Repent. You go the other way. So when it says in Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance there is no longer living for yourself, no longer believing in yourself, but you repent and you believe the gospel. When you're repenting, you're believing the gospel. And then God transforms you and changes you. And now you want to do what God calls you to do. So that salvation is always free. It's never a work. When you hear repent and be saved, it's repent from living for yourself. It's repent from living without God. It's turning to God and living. If I want to paint my house and I go down to the paint store without my wife, which I would never do, and I pick out a paint that I want to paint my house, and I bring the paint home and I say, we're going to paint the house this color. And my wife looks at the color and goes, that's the most hideous thing I've ever seen. You are not painting our house that color. And I go, yes, I am. And she goes, no, you're not. And I go back to the store and I buy another paint. I have repented. I've repented wisely, by the way. I have repented and paint the house a different color. How do you know I've repented? I painted the house a different color. How do we know someone repented and followed the gospel? Because now they are following Jesus. And so these people in the world are so in love with worldliness. The Bible says that to be in love with this world is adultery against God. They're so in love with the world that they won't repent even when a third of the world is destroyed. There are Christians who won't repent. God gives you roadblocks. God sends things your way to say, don't do this. You've got something in your mind that you want to do and you set out to do it and God puts things in your way and you go forward anyway. God's trying to do something that's going to stop harming your life by putting a roadblock in the way. Years ago, we had a pastor that was on staff and he was thinking about marrying a gal and the Lord clearly spoke to him and told him not to. And he was continuing to make plans to and he knew God told him not to. And then in a service, I made some statement and he told me later, it was a clear roadblock. God told me, if you do this, you will bring devastation into your life. A couple years later, I'm talking to him and his life is a wreck. And he said to me, I can't believe I went around the roadblock. I can't believe God reached out to me in love to say, don't do this. And I did it anyway. God was saying, repent. When you've got something going on in your life that you know shouldn't be going on in your life, and you're not willing to turn from it, how do you repent? You turn from it. That's how you repent. That's what repentance is. You turn from that thing. And some here need to repent. And God's been putting roadblocks in your way. And maybe you've gone around them and it's time to back up now and go, you know what, Lord? And you might need help. Listen, behavioral issues are not easy to change. Addiction issues are not easy to change. But God knows that. And God knows where you need to be and where you need to get to. And God's able to help you if you will humble yourself enough to go, help me. I don't know if I can do it. I need your help. Listen, Ahab, the Bible says, was the worst king who ever lived. Now, later on, Manasseh took that from him, all right? Later on, God said to Manasseh, he's the worst king that ever lived. But Ahab was the worst king that ever lived up to that time. He was married to Jezebel, all right? She was worse than him. And God said of Ahab, he's the worst guy that ever lived. And through Elijah, God told him, I'm going to do this, this, this. He told him a bunch of horrible things he was going to do to Ahab and his family. The Bible says that Ahab put on sackcloth and ashes and repented, humbled himself. It doesn't say repented. It says humbled himself. He put on sackcloth and ashes and he humbled himself before God. And God went to Elijah and said, go tell Ahab, I'm not going to do it in his lifetime. I'm still going to do it, but I'm not going to do it in his lifetime. And I think if God will respond to humility from the most wicked man who has ever lived, then how much does God honor humility? How much would God honor you if you say, God, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. But there needs to be a turning away from it. Because what would we see? Let's just say that they did repent. Let's just say that these 200 million man army and whatever these horses are rides out and destroys a third of the world. And the rest of the world goes, this is crazy. And that's our future. Probably worse things are going to happen. So we're going to turn to God and we're going to start living for God. You know what would have happened? We would be reading a different ending to the book. God has only written what he's written because he knows what's going to happen. But nothing is set in stone. We have choices we can make. And there may be a warning that God's given you to stop something horrible happening in your life. And you could write a different ending to it by saying, Lord, I repent. I turn from it. I'm going to change. I'm going to walk a different direction because that's what it's about. Now, some of you guys need to repent and believe the gospel. You're not a Christian. And you just need to listen to that. Those are the words of Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Stop living for yourself and begin living for Christ. Become a disciple and follow him. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. It says that God created these demons for their purpose, right? It says in verse 15, so the four angels who were prepared for that hour, that day, that month, that year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Well, you know, the Bible says that you are his workmanship created for good works in Christ. In other words, you come to Christ, God's got things prepared for you. God's got things planned for you to do. Now stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you that in the midst of this awful account of a third of the world being destroyed in some kind of warfare, some kind of weapons, that we have such a message of repentance, that we should repent. And Lord, we want to turn away from those things. We know that you know that we're but dust. We know you know our weaknesses. And we ask you for help. We humble ourselves before you, that you would do your work inside of each one of us. I also pray for those who are here today who have never made a commitment to you, that they would make that commitment today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. If you're here today and you never gave your life to Christ, the Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. That means that anyone here right now can say, I want him in my life. Lord, I want you in my life. I invite you in. I receive you. Jesus himself said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He's not asking you to deny yourself to have your best life now. He's asking you to deny yourself to pick up the cross and follow him. Lay down your life, no longer live for you, but live for him and whatever he has for you, that you would be completely, total, and surrendered to him. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. But there are also some here, perhaps, who made a commitment in the past, but you didn't follow through with it. You said, Lord, I want to follow you, I want to receive you, but you walked out of these doors and you didn't follow through with your commitment. You are not the first person who made a commitment here and walked out and didn't keep it. You won't be the last person that made a commitment, walked out and didn't keep it. But you could make a commitment today that you walk outside of those doors and you could keep it. You could start living for him. If you're here today and you're ready to live for Christ, you want to repent and believe the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the plan that God has for you. God bless you guys. That's awesome. Another hand up. God bless you, ma'am. That's great. All right, you could put your hands. God bless you, sir. Last moment there. That's great. God's got a plan. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now listen, you raised your hand tonight. You're a disciple. You're a follower of Jesus. That's what you didn't join a church. You became a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Savior. You will now follow him and live for him. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life and how God's going to use you. We have a new believers table that's out in the foyer and a new believers team. These guys are great. We want to give you a Bible and a new believers packet and just help you to make sure that you get a good, solid start. You come out of the starting blocks running well for Jesus. Now, I also want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for you based on what we've been looking at here. And there are times in our lives when we do things we wish we didn't do that we need to repent from. Now, maybe tonight you go, I don't have anything I need to repent from. But unfortunately, we're people. And being people, we do things we wish we wouldn't do. And I want to pray that you would be one who would identify quickly when you need to repent and that you would find the refreshment. Peter said, repent and find the refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. I want to pray you'd be one that would be quickly to do that. And I'll throw myself in on that prayer too, all right? So pray with me. Would you? The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands and pray with me as I pray for you. Father, I want to pray as we lift our hands to you, made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to pray for all who are here that are raising their hands. Lord, I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd work in their lives. Lord, you know what they need. You know what we need. I pray that you would touch their hearts and that you would help us to be able to humble ourselves quickly and to repent when we need to. Your word says that we are like sheep who are prone to go astray, and we're sorry for that. But you know that. And I pray that you would help us to identify it quickly and repent quickly. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking closer to Jesus than ever before. May God use you in the life of the people around you to shine as a light for him, because you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.